This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Saturday to our listeners. Welcome to Saturday News number 1123. We have been listening on the story of our beloved mother, Iswarama. So before we go into part two, let's have a Ganesh Bhajan, and here's one for you.
जय गणेश जय गणेश देवा
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश देवा
माता जननी पार्वती पिता महादेवा
माता जननी पार्वती पिता महादेवा
जय गणेश जय गणेश देवा माता जननी पार्वती पिता महादेवा
माता जननी पार्वती पिता
दंत दयावंत चार भुजाधारी
एक दंत दयावंत चार भुजाधारी
माथे सिंदूर सोने उंदरनी सवारी
माथे सिंदूर सोने उंदरनी सवारी
पान चढ़े फूल चढ़े अन्न चढ़े मेवा लाडवानो भोग चढ़े संत करे सेवा जय गणेश जय गणेश देवा
जय गणेश जय गणेश जय गणेश देवा
माता जननी पार्वती पिता महादेवा
Iswarama to witness her son Satya grow into a master who people twice or thrice his age hailed as the Avatar Sai Baba was a complex journey. During those distressful moments, she vacillated between being a mother and a devotee. Clearly, the transition from the doting mother to the adoring devotee was difficult. Early in life, her son Satya had declared his plans. He was here on a mission. His devotees were waiting for him. This strange talk was a far cry from the dream of his parents that he get an education and seek a secure clerical job in the government, bringing financial well-being and social respectability to the family. Hearing of Satya's strange pronouncements and behavior, when Mother Iswarama rushed to Urvakonda to see him in 1940, she was shocked to find him surrounded by an adoring crowd. But when pressed to identify his parents, Satya calmly and concisely said, "They are Maya or illusion." Maya, explained Iswarama, and fell in a faint. When she came back to her senses, she sat by Satya's side, tears rolling down her face. "Satya, speak to your mother," she begged. A few minutes of silence ensued. And then he said, "Who belongs to whom?" It was not a question, but a cold pronouncement. Baba continued, "It is all Maya, it is all Maya." This moment is unique in the annals of human experience, for who can fathom what Iswarama must have felt in her heart? Nothing could have prepared her for the jolt as her little Satya, declared himself to be Sai Baba, Guru to the whole world. She alone bore the brunt of this metamorphosis of her dearest son to a discreet and distant Sai Baba. Yet, despite declaring her as Maya or illusion, the young Satya was always conscious to play every role in his life to perfection, for millions would look up to him as a role model. Hence, he continued to confer the respect, concern and love on the mother as an ideal son should, and the mother on her part let her son pursue his mission despite all her misgivings about his welfare and safety. But it wasn't all that easy. Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath recalls Ishwarambha's inner struggle to reconcile his divinity with her maternal instinct as she describes the birthday celebrations of those early years.
The birthday celebrations of Bhagavan were also celebrated in a wonderful way in the old mandir, with all the festoons, all the decorations. The whole altar would be decorated wonderfully, the huge lamps burning all the time. It was almost heaven. And Baba would be taken in the palanquin around the village, where all the villagers would stop the palanquin and then touch the feet of Swami and give flowers to me. And Baba would bless them with so much of love. He would go around the whole village. And the men would be cornering out the crowd. And in the middle, we ladies would be in front of the palanquin walking backwards, not forward. So as we walked backwards, we could see Bhagavan in the palanquin. And then the palanquin would come, the procession would come, and the palanquin, you see, slowly would be put down, Swami would get up, and he would just shake his kapani, and plentitude of vibhuti would just be scattered over there. At these moments we would feel, yes, Baba is our own, but he looks so divine, he looks out of reach. And Baba, being young, with a flock of hair and with a wonderful, beaming, divine face, we lost ourselves in that wonderful darshan of Swami. But what did the mother do? When Swami got onto the palanquin, it was his birthday, and he was taken round the village, mother did not go with the procession. She would sit in a mandir and sob. So there were many elderly ladies, "Why, Amma, why? Your son has become God. Why do you weep?" And the words she would say, "Amma, he is no more my son. He is God." And that would hurt her, because if it is a son, she can fondle him, she can talk to him, whichever way she likes. But she always felt, "No, I cannot take that sort of advantage. My son has become God." That was what she felt all the time. And Baba would come to her and say, Yendu kedustavu? Yadundu, yadu makudu. And he would be so kind to her. And then give her prasad and all that. Well, that day would pass like that. That's the birthday of Bhagavan. That's what it would be. Well, she would wipe her tears. What else to do? That's what it is. The son has become God. That is one of the greatest truths one could never erase out of the mind of anyone. So the mother accepted it, whatever it was. And a very wonderful quality of the mother was this. She was the main person in the house, and she would look after every need of everyone there. Her daughters, they were just nearby to her house. The mother, the daughters and all of them, they would bring the food, mother also would bring along with them. And she was so meticulous that whatever was prepared, the item should be something which Swami liked. And she would really admonish some of the her daughters and tell them, "We must prepare something that Swami likes. At least let him eat that. He hardly eats." Great love and concern for her divine son, and the same concern for all the devotees.
Soon, the Sai mission grew, people from distant lands and different backgrounds came to behold her dearest young son. They treated him with reverence and sought so much from him. She felt concerned for his well-being, but to her credit, the simple lady embraced all as her own. As the years went by, Ishwaramba had to adjust to the many other changes that followed the ever-growing glory of her son. She strained to retain whatever contact she could, as Swami's time was taken up by the needs of his devotees. Sometimes, the rumor mill around the village got to her. People spread strange and unpleasant stories about her son. She felt concerned. Often, she would come rushing to him and pour her torrent of protests at the things he was doing, like proposing to build the current Prashanti Mandir on a patch of land on the outskirts of the village. Swami sat in patient silence, letting her have her say, and merely smiled. "Speak to me, tell me something in reply," she asked in frustration. Swami softened. "Why do you bother with people's talk?" he gently asked and assured her. "There will be no jungle and no snakes when I go there. There will be hundreds of pilgrims pouring in every day, and that place will become a Shirdi, a Tirupati, and a Kashi." She learned quickly to stay open to her son's ideas, which were totally new to the local population. He promoted oneness, foretold of a future when the world would converge at their little village, which till then did not even have a road connecting it to the next town. Aggrieved people came to her young son seeking solace. Their sorrow pained her deeply. Ishwaramba had a soft heart, especially towards women who were widowed by fate or ostracized by society, as if their misfortune was infectious. She also sought out young women deserted by their husbands and left alone and helpless. She was always there for the devotees and tried hard to get them to meet her son, for she knew they would find solace in him, even if she wasn't sure why or how. Many a times she would put in a good word for them. Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath explains.
Whoever came, she would talk to them with such love, and she was as simple as a child. And if anyone was crying, any devotee was crying, she would go to them and console them. She had no differences. She never felt, "I'm the mother of God, and they should come and fall at my feet." That aspect was never there in the mother. She was so simple, so loving, so concerned about all the devotees. And if any devotee was sick, she had, you see, the privilege to go and sit near Swami wherever he was. She would go and tell him, "Swami so-and-so is sick, Swami. Please, Swami, give her some vibhuti. Please talk to her, Swami." This is what her whole life depended upon. All the devotees, everybody there should be happy, should be well, and they should be at the feet of Bhagavan, so happy and so devoted, that she would also feel very happy.
If ever she took any liberty of her accessibility to Swami, it was for the sake of some distressed or disconsolate soul. In one instance, there was a couple from West Godavari who had come with a terribly sick child and had waited in Puttaparthi for a week. Due to financial constraints, they were not in a position to extend their stay and were about to leave crestfallen. As a last resort, they met Ishwarama, and when the mother heard their plight, she took the boy by his hand and immediately led him upstairs to Swami's room and pleaded with Swami to cure the child. Swami gave her a patient hearing and then calmly said, "Chustanu," meaning "I will see." But no, she was not satisfied and insisted that Swami show mercy to the poor family right now. And finally, Swami gave in to her prayers and healed the child. As is said, a mother's prayers never go unfulfilled. Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath says,
"She was born in a village. She was not a sophisticated person, not at all. Ingrained in her was the sense of love and charity. She would help those ladies for whom it was difficult to sort of make both ends meet. And she would even bring them saris and give it to them. And as I said, any lady who needed something, money or clothes, or if she was sick, some kind of a treatment, my God, she would just go to Swami. And she would tell him, if Swami was also preoccupied, the wonderful mother would go behind him. And he couldn't help it. He knew the earthly mother, how wonderful she was, how she loved him. He would come with her among the devotees and she would show Swami, Swami this one, Swami that one, Swami. And Swami would help them. It was like an indelible experience, never to be erased. And that is why the years may go by, but such incidents remain so clear as if it happened just yesterday.
Mrs. K. Vasumati Devi heads the service wing of the Andhra Pradesh Sai organization. It was during the 60s that word reached her that Swami was going to create Amrutam or nectar on the Vaikunth Ekadashi, an auspicious day for the Hindus. Not only that, she had heard that he would put the divine nectar onto every devotee's tongue with his own divine hands. There were no telephone lines those days. When the news reached her, she began her journey from her native Iluru to Puttaparthi by changing 7 buses over 2 days. She finally reached Puttaparthi at 8:45 p.m. on Vaikunth Ekadashi. By this time, it was too late. This is what she recalls, and I quote, "When I entered the ashram that night, the residents of Prashanthi Nilayam showered sympathy on me, saying, 'Oh, you have come only now? Swami has just finished distributing the Amritam and has retired upstairs.'" Unquote. She was crestfallen. But immediately, the thought of the compassionate mother Ishwarama came to her. The mother could not bear Mrs. Vasumati's sorrow. Defying all protocol, she grabbed Vasumati's hand and rushed her to Swami's dining hall, as Swami had already gone upstairs. Vasumati tells us what happened next, and I quote, "The next moment, the mother held my hand and hurriedly led me to the first floor of the mandir. With great concern in her voice, the mother said to Swami, 'Iluru Papa arrived just now after changing 7 buses. I could hear the conversation standing at the doorstep. I was gripped with pain as I felt I had disturbed the mother at an odd hour and was also apprehensive about Swami's reaction.' Swami then mischievously smiled and said, 'Did the girl ask you to recommend her situation to me?' Mother replied, 'No, Swami. Papa never asked me to do this. I myself took pity and brought her here.' Then, with a bewitching twinkle in his eyes, Swami said, 'If that is the case, poor girl, take this bottle and give her Amrutam.' With motherly intimacy and a gentle frown, Mother said, 'What? I have to give her, Swami? Did Papa come all the way to Puttaparthi, changing 7 buses, to have Amrutam from me? No, I will not give it to her. Swami, you have to give it to her.'" Bhagwan smiled at this compassionate outpouring of the mother. After finishing his meals, Swami was full of smiles and charm and told Mother, "I myself will give it to her." Then Swami came to me and asked me to come forward. "Please open your mouth." "Just because I asked you to open your mouth does not mean you should swallow the bottle." "I will put the Amrutam. Swallow it." So saying, Swami joyfully put Amrutam on my mouth. My bliss was beyond description. Unquote. Another Jayalakshmi who offered selfless service for many years was the medical officer Dr. Jayalakshmi, who served in the Sri Sathya Sai General Hospital. She remembered how Mother Ishwaramba was a pioneer in serving expectant mothers and babies. She advised the local village women against superstitions such as magical rites. She sat with the patients while they were questioned, waited for the diagnosis, and held them firm as the dreaded needle was administered. When the ladies were admitted as patients, she climbed the hill to the hospital to make sure they knew there was a mother interested in their recovery. Ishwarama, the woman whose life and sacrifice changed the course of human history, was at heart a simple, loving mother, and it is the poignancy of her unique relationship with her son, whom she grew to adore as her God, that must be recalled. What also should be recalled is her pious nature, a heart which went out for others, just as a flower gives out its fragrance selflessly and relentlessly. Ishwarama, mother to the avatar, mother to the world. If Mother Ishwaramba bore the exemplar of supreme perfection, her son too left no stone unturned to demonstrate how a worthy son should revere the mother. The mother was always Baba's top priority. Dr. Jayalakshmi Gopinath was a witness to the divine relationship between the Lord and the chosen mother.
If Baba left Puttaparthi to go anywhere, you would find Mother Ishwaramba sitting in a corner and sobbing. The love between the mother and the son, I have not witnessed it. But I've seen with my own eyes the wonderful divine drama, the concern of the divine son for the mother, and the love and concern of the mother for her divine son, whom she felt had gone far away, she would sit and sob.
The divine concern was mutual. The doting son always placed her first, and also through her life demonstrated to the world the ideal life of a woman. Dr. Jayalakshmi again takes us back to those days.
And if you were to look at him at that moment, it was a kind of a divine concern. It was not at all human. And his eyes, when he would see the mother, would be full of that love. He loved the mother. Let us understand the great lesson that Baba is giving to humanity, and the wonderful contact and the love and the concern between the mother and the son, which I suppose we can never witness in the ordinary world. She did every day regularly the religious rituals, did the puja, and straight off she would come away to the mandir, you see, and sit the whole day till she went home, because she would always love to be near the proximity of Bhagavan. And at home, she looked after the house, and she looked after her husband so well, with so much of concern, that is Venkamma Raju Garu. He was a wonderful person, Venkamma Raju Garu. So she looked after the husband as a Hindu true wife would look after. She looked after the needs of the house, just as I said, a mother would look after. And above all the time in her mind would be that she is the mother of the Great One. Yet, it's not the way in which she would have liked. He has receded, because she would say, he is God. That's the way she felt all the time. But her love, the motherly love, was always there.
The affectionate mother, an ideal wife, a dutiful daughter-in-law, Ishwarama straddled all her roles with ease, for all her actions were rooted in pure and unselfish love. And during the birthday celebrations of those years, her role was extremely significant.
And Swami's birthday was celebrated in this small little auditorium of those days. It had a dais, and Swami's chair would be bedecked, kept there or the higher dais. And it was the anointing ceremony because it was his birthday. Swami would select some senior Sumangalis. The Sumangalis among the devotees, senior ones, and some younger people, I was blessed also to go with them. And with lovely silver plates with kumkum, haldi, flowers, whatever it is, the Sumangalis would carry it. And a silver bindi, you see, one elderly lady would carry it, it would be full of water, scented water. And there would be the procession, the village procession, not the actual Nadaswara, but the village procession. And these elderly ladies would take all these holy things with them, and then the garlands, the flowers, all of them, and the youngsters, like the whom Swami would have named, they would just follow. So it would be packed, that small auditorium, or what you would call in those days, they would call it that shed. It would be packed. Well, even a small little creature couldn't go through. So packed with people, eager for them to see the anointment of anointing of Swami. So with the Nada Saram and all that, the father, the mother would come first. And there would be a senior Sumangali, which Swami would have named, and he would tell that she should have a silver vessel, or a small, not a big vessel, a small one, full of the oil, scented oil and all the ingredients. She should hold it in her right hand, and one by one they should come, and this lady holding that small little container, she would have a flower. So they should dip the flower in that and put it three times on Swami's head, each one of them who come. So first would be the mother. Swami gave the first status to the mother, not because he was only the mother of his physical body, but to show to the world a son should revere the mother. The greatest example. First the mother, then the father. They were so simple. Swami had such a shock of hair then. And then the oil would come over Swami's face. So when everything was over, Swami would go and then go to his room, have a head bath, come back and sit in a new kapini. Then the bhajan would go on for a long time. And I cannot describe the splendor on his face, but how could I ever describe that splendor which we human beings have never witnessed before?
Ishwarama, Divine Mother of Sa.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.